From polymers to public administration, Olivia is inspiring the nation. In other words, let it cook.
Well, I have a wonderful electronic invention I want you to see.
It looks something like this.
Ugh.
1.21 gigawatts.
What the hell is a gigawatt?
You're listening to the Hashtag Getting Podcast, brought to you by Auburn University's Samuel Ginn College of Engineering.
Well, hello, you smartest of all podcast fans out there. I know that for a fact because you're tuning into the best podcast in all of higher education. That'd be the award-winning Hashtag Getting, brought to you by the Samuel Ginn College of Engineering's Office of Communications and Marketing. I work for that place. Communications and marketing is my game. Jeremy Henderson is my name. Joined as always by my co-host with the co-most, the salt and pepper sultan himself.
What do you think about that? You've been working on that one, haven't you?
In the bathroom for a second. Yeah,
okay. That's usually where the best ideas come from.
Austin Phillips. He is the director of the aforementioned Office of Communications and Marketing. We have the, what kind of sweater is this? Or pull up, what is that?
Cardigan,
that's the word I was looking for.
We call it the Mr. Rogers. If Scott's tossing his loafers in a little bit, we'll know why he's wanting to be the next Mr. Rogers.
John's been kicked to the curb. It's Mr. Key's neighborhood. There's no doubt about that. Austin, we are joined today. We've had a bunch of folks that have gotten a bunch of degrees.
Well, this one's been on your radar for a while now.
Because
I remember you brought it to me and you said, "Hey, we're going to try to work this one out." I'm just glad we got it worked out today.
I like it. The term tri-alumna. You think about that? Now,
Jared, so that makes you a mono alumna.
I'm a mon alum, barely. Uh-huh. Need to probably check the records.
Yep.
And make sure it's not alum.
Yeah, exactly.
but a polymer and fiber.
Oh, okay.
There's the first one. And then we have that's the bachelor's. We got a minor in Spanish. And then a master's and PhD in public administration and public policy. My gosh.
That's the spectrum, right?
Are you
there.
Allowed to go back anymore after this? I guess you can just keep getting degrees.
We'll give her an honorary after.
Yes,
this.
Olivia Cook.
Please,
yes, joining us here today. Now, what year was it with the polymer and the fiber?
2014, May 2014. I got my master's in public administration in 2015, and then my PhD in 2019, all from Auburn.
Good God. And you're from Auburn.
I'm from Auburn, yes.
Well, and you have there's a connection here at the university as well. You're kin to somebody that's a big deal around here. Who's that?
That's it. Well, kin to two people.
That's right.
So my father, Dr. Rickers Cook, he's the vice president of University Outreach.
Yep.
And my brother, he is actually here still. He's back at Auburn. He got his bachelor's here from Auburn, played under the tutelage of Bruce Pearl for the men's basketball team. And now he's working on his PhD in pharmacology.
Love it.
Man, the Cooks of Auburn.
Yep.
That's it.
There's a story right there. Dadgum.
Love it.
Now, listen, we talk about this sometimes. There's a lot of things you could have gone into. Probably. Polymer and fiber, that's kind of hard stuff, isn't it? I mean, building bridges is great and all, but I mean, that polymer and fiber stuff, the limited exposure I've had to it, that was enough for me. Why polymer and fiber? Let's get into it like that. Why engineering? What got you going?
Yeah, I'll be honest. So before I even got to Auburn, I was very strong in math and science. And I'm sure you all probably hear that from a lot of folks who major in some of the STEM fields. And so before I got here, I knew I was strong in those subjects. And my mom was like, "Okay, Olivia, so here are, you know, sort of three options for you. Become a doctor, go in engineering, or pharmacy." And I was like, I think engineering might be the easiest of the three, you know?
Dang.
So I went into engineering, and I started off in chemical engineering at first. And so was in chemie for about 2 years, and they have this weed out class. I think it's intro to chemie, and y'all, it weeded me out. I was like, I cannot do this. Oh my goodness. And so I started perusing around other majors, had already been in engineering for so long. And I was like, I know I want to stay here, but what engineering, you know? And so I came and met Ashley Winfrey. I don't know if she's still here.
She
but
is. Yeah.
She was an academic advisor over in polymer and fiber engineering. And Ashley was just so charismatic, so caring, and was just like, Olivia, please come over here. I will help you, you know, and I want to see you succeed. And so being able to see her and see a lot of the diversity in the polymer and fiber engineering major with a lot of the faculty and also students. And it was a small, tight-knit family. And I was like, okay, you know, polymer and fiber may be it. And so I actually opted for the polymer option in polymer and fiber engineering, where I focus more so on the makeup of plastics. So work with GKN out of Tallahassee, Alabama, to reduce the porosity in their aircraft. So helps reduce the air bubbles and help the aircraft fly faster. So that was exciting for me. And at the time, I was like, man, I want to become a biomedical engineer and create prosthetics for folks in developing countries. And so ended up shadowing a few physicians, cardiologists, OBGYNs, any type of physician you can think of, I shadowed them, and because I wanted to learn more about the medical field. And so ended up saying, okay, medicine may not be for me, you know? You know how you sort of just get that epiphany? But I knew I wanted to be Dr. Cook one day. So continued on and stayed here with my master's and PhD, and actually got my PhD in the same program that my dad got his in 19 years ago.
Awesome.
So it was such a sort of full circle moment to be able to have him co-hood me at graduation and see how my story unfolded from the start in engineering on through public administration and public policy.
That story.
Auburn family.
That's right? Auburn family. And it did continue to unfold. We talk all the time about how engineering opens pretty much any door you want.
Yep.
Law, you know, medicine.
Doctors. Patent attorney.
YouTube stars.
Yeah.
Tons of different things.
Well, and we I can't remember her name, but we did have a student on here that had a very similar experience in terms of going and shadowing at a hospital and realizing, maybe this isn't what I want to do.
So public policy. And everything. I mean, that seems to be, you are the, I guess let's talk about that. I mean, you're taking it, the inaugural executive director of the Center for Economic and Social Justice at Miles College.
Actually, I have transitioned from that
role. My bad. Okay.
You were.
The first one.
Yes, I was the first one. So, man, when I tell you, I have been just excited about my story and seeing how it has just been unfolding. So, after I graduated with my PhD from Auburn back in 2019, I wrote my dissertation first on the advancement of African-American women senior leaders to C-suite level positions. So, I interviewed folks who are presidents, vice presidents, chief diversity officers, chief human resource officers. At Association of Public and Land Grant Universities in the state of Alabama. So I wanted to see their ascendancy to those top C-suite level positions and see, are they authentic in their ascendancy and what type of leadership style do they possess? And so as I wrote that dissertation, wrote it in about 45 days. So I defended my prospectus and PhD in the same semester, which is highly unheard of, right? So graduated with my PhD in 3.5 years, and in December or November 2019, when I defended, my dissertation went viral. So had over 3.5 million impressions online where folks wanted to know, as a Black woman, how can I be authentic in my ascendancy to those top C-suite level positions? And as an employer of Black women, how can I help them get to those positions? And so after my dissertation went viral, I was like, man, so many folks are going to hire me. They're going to want me. Like, oh my goodness, you know, I have this engineering background and also this public administration and public policy background. This is like the best of both worlds, you know, sort of signaling I can use both sides of my brain, you know. But y'all, I didn't get a single hit from employers. Like, I applied to so many positions, finally became a finalist at Harvard and also at MIT. And so, as we know, the pandemic came in 2020, about 2 or 3 months later. So nobody was hiring at all. Folks were furloughing folks. And it was just like, man, we don't know how long this is going to last. So we love you. We think you're incredible, but we're going to have to wait. And so that wait took about a year and a half, where I didn't have a full-time job. And so I'm like, man, I just feel like, you know, I'm a triple threat, if you will, you know, and I check all the boxes. I mean, I'm Black, I'm a woman, I have an engineering degree, you know, I have all these things. I'm like, come on. And so it was, you know, disheartening when I didn't have that full-time job. But as my story would have it, was working part-time for a state agency, the Alabama Commission on Higher Education. So I was working part-time for them, and they asked me to attend a breakfast call. And so this breakfast call was like at 7-something in the morning. I was like, I do not want to get up this early to attend a breakfast call.
What was
you know?
On the menu? What they have?
You know, it was, you know, serve yourself, but you were on a Zoom call. So I was like, man, they're not even sending me any food.
Yeah, nice little breakfast.
Got a Chick-fil-A card or something.
That's it. Raisin brand. That's cool. That's it. So they were like, we want you to be our representative on the call. And I was like, okay, sounds good. So no, the folks who were on the panel could not see us, but we could see them, right? So it was almost like a webinar, if you will. And so the folks who were on the panel was Ann Flory and President Bobby Knight, who was the president over at Miles College. And Bobby is one of the most sort of influential women, if you will. I would go as far to say for the state of Alabama. She is incredibly influential and an incredibly transformational leader. And so saw her on the call, and I was like, man, who is that? I need to know her. You know, I had met with over 100 different folks by this time, CEOs, presidents, and folks, you know, trying to understand the needs they have, if they had a gap, and how can I fill it? And so I looked at her, and I was like, I need to know her. I have to get to know her. So I sent her a cold email, found her email online, and sent her a cold email just saying, hey, I would love for you just to be my mentor. Did not hear anything back. And so I call myself the queen of follow-up. I follow up, you know, because I feel like the fortune is in the follow-up. And so about probably 3 or 4 weeks later, I followed up. I was like, hey, just a reminder. I sent an email a few weeks back, would love to catch up with you, and didn't hear anything back. I followed up again. So another 3 or 4 weeks went by, I followed up, and she finally emailed me back, and she was like, I'm so sorry, we've been dealing with COVID. So been trying to, you know, get that underway, but would definitely love to meet with you sometime this summer. So ended up getting in contact with her secretary, got on the agenda to meet with her, and we were supposed to meet via Zoom for about 30 minutes. And I called the day before the meeting and was like, man, can I please meet with her in person? I know we're still going through COVID, but if she can meet in person, I would love to meet in person. So her secretary confirmed with her, yeah, she can meet in person. We were only supposed to meet for 30 minutes in person, wound up meeting for 2 hours. And she offered me a job on the spot. She was like, I don't see how people have not hired you yet. You know, you are incredible, the way you present yourself, the way you show up, and your background. And so, and all the things, you know, that you, the knowledge that you have acquired. So she offered me the position of the inaugural executive director of the Center for Economic and Social Justice. And so I was like, man, this is incredible, because it was marrying some of the fields that I'm interested in, which are leadership, entrepreneurship, economic development, and all those things. And so I stood up the center for her at the college. So wound up bringing in almost about $1 million in over the course of 2 years. And so one of the projects that I'm most proud about during my time at Miles was developing the Miles College Women's Business Center. So I was able to get a grant from the U.S. Small Business Administration that gives to the college actually every year. So they get $150,000 every year from this grant that I wrote in perpetuity. As long as there is money in Congress's budget, they get this grant. And so stood up the Women's Business Center, hired a director for it. And so once I did that, I was like, man, how can I leverage myself, my tools, my resources, and my knowledge to help other folks? So I actually branched out and started my own company. So I actually started it back in July 2020, but now I'm in on it full time. And so where I do consulting and where I do speaking engagements and hosting events.
Rock and roll.
And where we're both from, not too far from Miles College, it's been a great institution that's made a great impact on that area of the state. So
absolutely.
Not many miles from there.
Yeah, not many miles. But
I know you said the inspiration, obviously, with the skills that you bring and being able to develop and launch and create with these kind of work. I mean, since then, I was you know, Googling around the website. I mean, this isn't your first time behind the mic. We've had some TV appearances, all of which is to say it kind of seems like it might have been a pretty good, you know, choice. It seems like you are making some waves with that. Is there anything along those lines? I mean, you can share, I don't know, you got clients and everything, and you can't share everything, but I don't know, anything cooking right now?
He's full of them. Mm-hmm.
That was just, I mean, that was a God thing right there. That wasn't me. Yeah, can you talk about anything happening right now with the Olivia Cook Inc.?
Yes, yes. So Olivia Cook Enterprises. been really looking to definitely grow my clientele with the institutions that I'm able to service. And so one of the programs that I'm most proud about is my Accelerate Her program. And so this program is designed for HBCU and HBCC students, so historically Black college and historically Black colleges and universities and historically Black community colleges. And so this program is meant for underrepresented female students to take them through this transformational journey in leadership, to teach them about leadership. And authentic leadership is the foundation of the study. And so authentic leadership came in the literature back in 2003 by Fred Luthens and Bruce Avalio. They came up with this term of authentic leadership, and it helps folks who want to be leaders become more inclusive leaders and to be able to show up as their full self to work and not just part of themselves. And so I have implemented this program that I'm super excited about to spearhead at these HBCUs and HBCCs to help folks get to those C-suite level positions, underrepresented female students. So that's what I'm excited about. In terms of TV appearances and podcasts and things like that, you know, I have tons of more that are coming up, which is, I guess, not surprising, but I'm excited about being able to live out my purpose. You know, I think folks, you know, go through life for so long and they don't know what they want to do and how they want to be an impact on the world. And for me, I found it. You know, my purpose is to empower, encourage, and to motivate folks. And so I'm doing that through the business that I've started.
Well, me and Jared are both still trying to figure it out. So.
Yeah, might be knocking on the door.
Yeah.
I think y'all got it.
Well, I want to know if I what I need to do to get that slogan put on a shirt of "Fortune is in the follow up."
I know. Yes, that was good.
I love that because I live by that as well.
Yeah, he's a follow up fellow.
Yeah, I'm a follow. They can vouch for that. But it's one of the best advice that people. Tyler,
circling back.
Yeah,
that's what he does. He circles back.
That's politically correct. Yeah. But Tyler, that I work with, that was his first lesson here in working in higher education. Because even though I'd worked here a couple of years before I started in engineering, I came from the private sector in the news industry, and that you had to go to people's office. That's the way you're going to get the story. And here to get things done, that follow-up. Because our faculty, our administration, they're busy. They've got other things. They're going to miss an email.
Yep.
They'll miss an email, it shouldn't mean I've missed an opportunity. So I want to make sure that the fortune's in the follow-up. I need that on a T-shirt.
That's it. Just give me some credit when you put it
on there. No, we'll cut the 10%.
That's a book for you right there.
That's
fortune
it.
In the follow-up. Yeah. Boom, lesson. Well, speaking of, I guess, with the empowerment and everything, we like thinking a lot of times that people come in from the Atlantas, they come in from the Seattles, everything just to be on the podcast. But a lot of times they're killing a couple of different birds. You are in town not just for this. What else is going on?
Yes, absolutely. So I'm actually here for the Engineer Together Day, where we'll be coaching groups of students to solve real-world problems with inclusivity in mind. So I'll be there today on campus in Brown-Copel, and then also tomorrow I'll be giving a talk in Brown-Copel as well for a lunch and learn on engineering with a purpose. So understanding how to find your purpose through an engineering major.
Is that with 100 Women Strong?
That is. Okay. It's with 100 Women Strong.
See, and that answered both my questions, because I was going to, before we ended this, saying, if you're not involved with our Engineering Together initiative, if you're not involved with our 100 Women Strong, you really need to be, and we really need you to be part of it. So we got a lot of birds on the ground right now.
Stone. No, this is a powerful trip. Yeah. I'm glad you're coming back.
And two, I love what you touched on earlier of the Weed Out class and having, you know, struggling with that, going and talking to an advisor, how impactful they were. You know, that's something we hear, you know, male, female, Black, white. We hear that a lot here. That's why this tutoring center that we have has been so impactful in Brown-Copel. You know, I've had people ask us, you know, why is it glass? You know, it's tutoring. Because we want everyone to see that everyone here needs help.
Mm-hmm,
you know, and there's hardly anyone that goes through this program that is as rigorous as any program that there is that doesn't need to lean on somebody else, that doesn't need someone help. So we want the students to see their peers across that glass because they need help just the same.
Absolutely.
And then turn into the peer tutors that are helping the other students. So to hear that, hey, you had a very similar experience that a lot of students have, that they struggle early and bounce back, find their purpose, find their way, and are exactly where you are today. I mean, that's the epitome of, if I can see you, I can be you, and you're living that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, if there's one piece of advice that I could give to students here at Auburn, is to don't be afraid to ask for help. You know, I think sometimes we can let our pride get in front of us to where we're like, man, I don't want to ask, or I don't know what they're going to say. You know, you just, all these different anxieties tend to try to come up, but don't be afraid to ask for help. It was a class that I was going through here, Statistics for Engineers, and I made a B on the first test, and the second test came around, and I was like, I have no idea what this stuff is. How am I going to make it through here? But, and I never really had to ask for help going through high school because I was a straight-A student. I was top 10% of my class, you know? And so for me, asking that professor for help and saying, man, I just don't get it. And I remember going to her office and bawling, crying, because I'm like, man, why am I asking for help? You should get this, you know? But the way she helped me and the way she motivated me and told me that I could do this, the next test came around and I made an A, and I was able to get through that class with an A. So for me, for students out here, don't be afraid to ask for help, because all of us need it.
Love it.
Love it.
I'm inspired.
Me too.
I really am. Like, I mean, a lot of these kids, I'm just like, okay, whatever. But I mean, Olivia.
Sure thing.
I mean, you know, well, this is what an alum story. Well, I'm loving
and, it. And two, again, it's the living it experience in it, and now it's the full circle.
Like, I know. So. Yep. This is awesome. Can't thank you enough for taking the time out of the busy.
Well,
busy
not just for us, but for these other,
for,
you know, like we said, for the engineering together, the 100 Women Strong events. You know, it's just
inspiring young minds, inspiring old minds. anyway, War Eagle, Olivia, thanks so much.
War Eagle, thank you all for having me.
You're listening to the #Getting podcast, brought to you by Auburn University's Samuel Ginn College of Engineering.